Hi, everyone, and welcome to Christianity Unfiltered, where we're speaking the truth of God's Word in love. Last week, we did actually talk about love and what all that has to do with, and what true love is, and what God's love is. And these couple weeks, we've been talking about relationships, and we've seen the man's side of relationships, and today we're going to talk about the women's side of relationships. So Vanessa, I know you said you had some things you want to start with, so why don't you go ahead and get us started today.
For me, what I wanted to, like, this is the baseline for healthy relationships for me, and it's having a healthy relationship established with the Lord, because I was awful at relationships, like my whole life growing up. Even when me and Brandon first got married, things were so toxic. Like they really were. Mm-hmm. And things that I found acceptable, I learned people don't live like that. Mm-hmm. People don't talk to each other like that.
Yeah.
You know, people don't do things like that. But like going off of kind of what we talked about last week, God's love and understanding our relationship with Him and what godly love looks like, mm-hmm. I began to build like my relationships on that. And now that I'm saved, like I understand, and I want other people to understand, like you can't have a healthy relationship if God's word isn't, like, this has to be your end all be all,
right?
You know, and that way when you encounter something toxic, mm-hmm. or someone is abusive towards you and manipulative and all these different things, then you're able to say, no, I'm not going to accept that. Mm-hmm. That's not what love looks like. And for the younger women too, mm-hmm. and men, mm-hmm. when you're seeking a spouse, when you're seeking someone that you want to spend your life with, like you, if you have a healthy relationship with the Lord and you understand that this is how He sees you, mm-hmm. then when someone tries to say that you're worthless or mm-hmm. leaves you feeling inadequate, mm-hmm. then you can say, no, that's not okay. And then two, when you have a relationship with the Lord, then He begins to put a vision in your heart, right?
Yes.
He begins to place a vision for your life, mm-hmm. in your heart. And that is, like, if you're with somebody already, then that will work with their vision. Mm-hmm. But when you're alone, God will begin to show you, like, what He wants for your life.
Right.
So when you encounter something that doesn't line up with, then you know, okay, this isn't for me, because mm-hmm. I know what God wants for my life.
Right.
So to me, like, that, you have to have that baseline, mm-hmm. to establish healthy relationships with family, friends, and your spouse.
Right. You saying that just kind of makes me think of, like, before Dave and I met, I know I had, like, a desire in my heart for a partner in ministry.
Yeah.
And, too, as you were saying that, too, the verse that came to mind was, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart.
Yes.
And it lines up with what was happening in my life, too, because at that time, like, I was spending a lot of time with God.
Yeah.
Like, I made Him my focus. I made Him, like, my boyfriend, so to speak. And I really looked into, okay, what do I need to be? What do I need to do to prepare myself to be a godly wife? And like I said, as I spent that time with God, He built my desires for a husband. Mm-hmm. And it was like, I just wrote down my list of, I want this, 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 and this. And man, when He brought Dave to me, it was like, oh my gosh, like, He is a Christian, but He's not just a Christian, like, He's a spirit-filled Christian.
Yeah.
And it's not just Him, like, it's His family that's Christians too.
Yeah.
And we all believe the same thing. And it was like, I just saw everything fall into place.
You knew.
Because I had, like you said, established that baseline.
Yep.
I had that relationship with God. He was creating my desires.
Yeah.
So I was ready.
Well, see, I never, like, me and Brandon, we met in a toxic environment, mm-hmm. and we were partying. And so I never got to do that.
Right.
But raising girls, mm-hmm. and then having my niece who's 17 now, mm-hmm. like, I had to really seek the Lord. Like, how am I going to guide them? Because I don't have experience with that. You know, but I know that if they just trust in the Lord, mm-hmm. you know, and they have that relationship built, then they'll know what to look for mm-hmm. in a man, you know, right. and not just that, like with Angelica, you know, she's like, well, I want to be married and, you know, go to church and raise my kids in the Lord. And, you know, then, and it started to sound like, then I'll serve the Lord,
mm-hmm.
you know? And it's like,
it can't
no,
work that way.
It does not. If you think you're going to find yourself mm-hmm. in your relationship with God in a guy,
it don't work.
You're so messed up. That's yeah. not going to work. Mm-mm. And that's going to be so unhealthy. Mm-mm. And the scripture, Proverbs 3.
Yeah.
Verse 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Yes. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct yeah. your paths.
Can I say this real quick?
Yeah.
God gave me this version of it as I was meditating on that scripture.
Yeah.
And it was, of course, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Stop trying to figure it out for yourself. Trust in me. Seek after me and I'll show you what to do.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was like, stop trying to figure it out for yourself. And I'm like,
yeah.
Oh yeah, you're right.
Yep. Yeah, because a man's never going to complete you.
No.
Like, I don't know who needs to hear that, but a man will never complete you.
Mm-mm.
You cannot build your relationship Mm-mm. with God on a man. You Mm-mm. cannot wait for a man to start living your life Mm-mm. the right way. Mm-mm. And honestly, I was ministering to a woman this morning, and Mm-mm. it was beautiful. Like, she completely rededicated her life to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
She said that, you know, she consecrated herself to him,
mm-hmm.
you know, and she's going to let him be her husband. She's
right.
going to let him lead her and guide her and direct her choices.
Right.
Because when you're married, you have your husband mm-hmm. to submit to.
Yeah.
And when you're not, submit to the Lord.
Exactly. And then, and two, going along with what you said about how a man does not complete us,
yeah.
you know, if you're in that relationship and you're thinking, you know, oh, if we just get married, he'll change. And,
ugh.
Oh, if we have kids, he'll change. No, he won't.
Mm.
Not change for the better. The change gets worse. It mm. doesn't get better. Because mm. marriage, just, it's like a magnifying glass. And then you throw kids in the mix, and then your magnifying glass just got bigger and stronger because now you see all of the little nitpicky things that were driving you crazy
mm-hmm.
when you were first together.
Yep.
Because all it does, it just magnifies those problems. So if you are struggling with problems in your relationship and you think that taking it to the next level is going to make it better, it won't.
It won't.
If you want it to get better, you yourself have to submit yourself to God. And you have to surrender that relationship to him.
Yes,
like
absolutely.
You have to come to him and say, Father, okay, I'm going to lay this down and I'm going to pick up what you want me to do.
Yep.
You are the only one that's going to fulfill the need in my heart, because God created us and we have like this God-shaped hole in our heart. And people try to fill it with things and with people mm. and with substances and in sex and relationships and money and all this stuff. And God's like, are you done yet?
Yeah.
Because when you're finished and you're ready, like, I'll come in and I'll come fill that hole for you.
Yep.
Because it was made for me to fill it, not all this other stuff.
Yep.
So that's what he's wanting from us.
Exactly.
And, you know, as a woman, we're seeking attention. We're seeking affection.
Mm.
We want that love, but we've got to go about it the right way.
Yeah, because if you're not like under submission to God,
mm-hmm.
then you're going to give anybody authority over your life.
Yes.
You're going to give the first man that walks in and says,
I love you, you're pretty.
You look nice today.
Mm-hmm.
Then you start planning the whole marriage in your head
mm-hmm.
because he winked at you.
Yeah.
You know, because we've all been there.
Yes.
You know, and before yes. Brandon, like, I did want a husband. I did
mm-hmm.
want, you know, I had a vision for my life, and it wasn't the right vision, but.
You had one.
I had one, mm-hmm. and that's what I wanted. So any guy that looked my way, I was like, that's
yeah.
my husband.
That was me. I
yeah.
was going out. I was trying to find myself a husband.
Yeah.
Like every guy, he's got to be the one. Oh, this one's got to
yep.
be the one. Oh, that one's got to be the one.
Yeah. So it's like, ladies, just because he looks at you,
yeah.
know your worth.
Yes.
Know that you're worth more than the first guy that walks in the room.
Yes.
Because I'm telling you what, I thank God every day for Brandon. I know that our marriage was ordained by God. Mm-hmm. It absolutely was, without a doubt. We were brought together,
right.
And it's to serve the Lord in ministry together, mm-hmm. and he is my other half. There
yes.
is no doubt about that.
Yes.
You know, but that's the exception.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, the way that we met and the way we came together,
right.
It does not work like that.
Right. And I'm going to back up just a little bit, too. Like, when I was out there trying to find my husband, and I did, bless his heart, I found one guy that was willing to marry me and asked me to marry him. And, you know, we were planning everything, and we're like a month and a half before the wedding. And I'm like, I can't do this. This isn't the right one. But even after that, like, I was still looking for a husband. And what set me free from that was the one day we were at church, and Pastor Mike, he's like talking. He's like, women, I want you to hear this. He's like, all you women out there looking for a husband, he's like, let me tell you something. He's like, Proverbs 18:22 says, he that finds a wife finds a good thing and receives the favor of the Lord. It doesn't say she that finds a husband.
Yes.
Man, when I heard those words, it hit me like, oh my gosh, I don't have to do this. Yeah. Like, I don't have to go looking anymore. I can just do my thing. Yeah. I can be the woman that God's called me to be, and that man will come find me.
Amen.
And I finally had rest in that moment.
Yeah.
I stopped looking.
Amen.
And I mean, it was probably a year or so later that Dave found me.
Yeah.
But we were brought together by relatives of his that mm-hmm. brought us together. But yeah, oh man, that was huge. And I knew, we've been kind of talking about submission here and there.
Yeah.
But it's like, I knew that Dave was the one for me.
Yeah.
Because it was like, I finally found a man that I knew I could submit to.
Yeah. Wow.
And
that's big.
And I'm a stubborn woman.
I know.
I will be the first to admit.
I know.
I am bullheaded. I am stubborn. Like, I am bossy. And I know a lot of it comes from just being like the firstborn in my family.
Yeah.
I mean, it comes naturally.
Yeah.
And, you know, with the other relationships that I was in, like, I was trying to rule those men.
Yeah.
And I was picking people that I thought would be a good Christian.
Yeah.
Or, you know, oh, they're just Christian enough. Mm. And, oh, I can get them saved.
Yeah.
That is the biggest lie ever.
It absolutely
missionary
is.
Missionary dating is from the pit of hell. Don't do it.
That's, I heard someone refer to it as that the other day.
It is.
Yeah, and it tells you in 2 Corinthians, don't team up with those who are unbelievers. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Mm-hmm. Don't team up with those who are unbelievers. How can righteousness mm-hmm. be a partner with wickedness?
Yes.
How can light live with darkness? Mm-hmm. What harmony can there be between Christ and the devil? Mm-hmm. How can a believer be a partner with an unbeliever? And what union can there be between God's temple and idols? For we are all the temple of the living God.
Right.
As God said, I will live in them, walk among them. I will be their God, and they will be my people.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't team up with you just can't. It doesn't work.
Mm-mm.
And I mean, me and Brandon were both hellions living in
sin.
Well,
at least you were both.
So that was different,
right?
But I do know that there's a lot of people that will think that mm-hmm. they can. It's missionary dating.
Exactly.
I can save them. They have
Jesus
potential.
Jesus saves them.
Yes.
We can't.
Yeah, and you have to guard your hearts.
Mm-hmm.
You have to guard your hearts. You can't just accept any old person.
Right.
You know,
right. There is something about being very selective and not settling.
And you have experience with that. You've gone both ways.
Oh, yes. Because, man, the first guy that I was engaged to, like, I was totally settling because I wanted to be married more than I wanted the right person.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I was a month and a half away from ending up in a marriage that would have been completely wrong, that we would have ended up divorced, and we would have been horribly miserable.
Possibly,
I mean,
had a kid.
There were even signs of abuse in that relationship.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for praying mother.
Yeah.
Because my mom would pray the Ephesians prayers for me.
Yeah.
And she's like, the day that you came to me and said, Mom, I don't think he's the one for me. I can't do this. She's like, I wanted to jump out of my skin, just screaming and yelling and praising God.
Jesus.
She's like, but I held it together.
Yeah.
And she's like, I just listened.
Yeah.
And even like after I ended it and I went to my pastor who was, he was actually counseling the two of us.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, I could have seen you guys back here in 6 months with marriage problems.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
Why didn't you say something?
Exactly. It's but thank God he saved me from that. And then when I did meet Dave, like even the part of, you know, the not teaming up with unbelievers, it wasn't just that I wanted a Christian. I wanted someone that believed the same way I did.
Yes, because there's a big difference between
a
churchgoer and having the same beliefs.
Right, because if my desire was I want somebody to be a partner with in ministry, we had to be on the same page.
Yeah.
We couldn't just be, oh, we're Christians. He goes to this church and I go to that church and, oh, maybe we'll raise our kids in a day. No, we had to be on the same page. And that was for our relationship to work.
Yeah, because, and I will say that even though me and Brandon, we met in the lifestyle that we were in, we did sit down. I mean, there was countless nights where we talked about what we wanted our life to look like. And it was hard for me. Like, it was really hard for me, the whole thing with submission. I didn't understand it.
Right.
All I knew was that men were abusive, and that's all I ever seen my whole life growing up. My mom being with men that controlled her, that abused her, that manipulated her, that it, to a point to where, you know, what they said, you know, when it came to us kids who weren't even their kids, that she went with that, you know? And so she was obedient to these men to the point to where it was horribly abusive to us all. So to me, that was hard. That was really hard. So if we talk about submission, we have to understand that we don't submit to anything that is not godly or that goes against the word of God. You know?
Yeah, and that was the thing. Like with Dave, I could submit to him because I finally met a man, one, that believed the same way I did, and two, I knew he was a godly man.
Yeah.
And that's what I had been wanting. That's what my spirit wanted.
Yeah.
And that's why I was trying to control all of these other guys because I did not trust them.
Yeah.
And I wanna hit this real quick. I know you and I had talked about this before. In Genesis, all the way back in Genesis 1, 26, it says, then God said, let us make man, human beings, in our own image to be like ourselves. They will reign over the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, the livestock, over all the animals on earth, the small animals that scurry along the ground. So God created man, human beings, in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. And I'm going to jump over into chapter 2. This is where we are actually seeing the creation come to life. We're actually seeing the plants, the animals, and all of this. And starting in verse 21 of chapter 2, it says, so the Lord, actually right before that, verse 18, then God said, the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper who is just right for him. So the Lord formed the ground. He, out of that, he did all the wild animals, birds, and all of that. And then he brings all of them to Adam, Adam, man, to name. He names all of them. Verse 21. Okay. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he slept, the Lord took out one of the man's ribs and closed up the opening. 22. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib and he brought her to the man. At last, he exclaimed, this one is bone from my bone and flesh from my flesh. Mm-hmm. She will be called woman because she was taken from the man. And right here, I'll go ahead and read the other two verses too. This explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. And I could like preach a whole message just on that.
I know, right?
But the whole idea that the woman was taken from the side is because as a woman, like our job, our position in the marriage is to be beside our husband, mm-hmm. not under his feet,
yep.
not like above his head, but to be right beside him to help him.
Yeah.
I think it's the King James Version calls us the helpmate.
Yep.
Because if you think about it, I mean, science has proved that men, they generally use the one side of their brain while we use both sides of our brain.
Yeah.
And areas that our husband is weak in, we're stronger in. And the areas that we're weak in, they're stronger in.
Yep.
So God, he takes this rib, he makes the woman from the side of the man to put him there beside them so that we can work together.
Yep.
Here's where the problem came in. In chapter 3, this is where we have the fall, where the serpent comes to Eve, offers her the fruit, she eats it, then Adam, he ate it. I've heard different things as to why he ate it as well.
Yeah, I've heard some stuff.
And we won't get into any of that because I've just heard it and haven't studied it.
Yeah.
But then we have the blame game. Well, why did you eat the fruit, Eve? Well, the serpent made me do it. Well, yep. Adam, why did you eat the fruit? Well, she made me do it.
The woman you gave me made
exactly,
me do
that
it.
That darn woman. So then God goes and he's telling, you know, he curses the serpent, tells him he's going to be on his belly, and then he gets to the woman. And he says to the woman, I will sharpen the pain of your pregnancy, and in pain you will give birth. And you will desire to control your husband, but he will rule over you. So now, all of a sudden, instead of Eve wanting to be and woman wanting to be right here beside her husband helping him, now she wants to take control over him.
Yep.
And I've seen this in so many marriages where it's like you have the dominant woman that seems to control the marriage, or she wears the pants in the family.
Yep.
And you have the submissive husband that just rolls over and lets her do it.
Yeah.
It's like, to me, just because of my own relationship experiences, to me, and just even talking to some different women that are that way, they want the control because they are afraid.
Yeah.
And they don't trust their husband.
Yep.
So they want to hold on to the control because they can't trust God with their husband.
Yep.
And I'm going to go back. I'm not going to read all of this. I don't know if I will read it. But in Ephesians chapter 5 and then in Colossians 3, Paul teaches women about what they're supposed to do as a wife. And then he also talks to the men.
Yep.
But the thing that's common in both of them is he tells the woman each time, submit to your husbands.
Yep.
I will read the one in Ephesians 5. It says in verse 21, and furthermore, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. For wives, this means that you submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of his wife, as Christ is the head of the church. He is the savior of his body, the church. As the church submits to Christ, so you wives should submit to your husbands in everything. So, being that stubborn, strong woman in my marriage, where I said, okay, now I have this man that I really can submit to me, it is, you know, I give my opinions to Dave.
Yeah.
We talk about things. We pray about things together. We talk about decisions. And there have been numerous times where he has actually gone with my decisions.
Yep.
And there have been times where he's like, this is the way that I think we're supposed to go. This is what I think we're supposed to do. And I'm like, eh, I don't really feel that way. That's not what I'm getting.
Yeah.
But here's where the submission comes in. At the end of the day, I know he is the head of our family.
Yep.
He's the head of our marriage. I'm trusting that my godly husband is hearing from God, mm-hmm. because I'm like, dude, you're a prophet. You yeah. better be hearing.
Yeah.
And that's where, as the submissive wife, I step aside and say, okay, we're going to do what you think in this situation, mm-hmm. and I'm trusting that you're hearing from God.
Yep, and that's what it comes down to. When there's a casting vote, mm-hmm. he makes the choice, and yeah. it's the same way. And submitting to him, it's like, you know, like you said, there's plenty of times where he went with what you wanted, mm-hmm. and that's fine, and they should honor us.
Right.
And it says, you know, to honor your wife, but I just want to mm-hmm. hit real quick when something that I was studying, it says in 1 Peter, likewise, you husbands, live considerately with your wives, giving honor to the woman as the weaker vessel. A lot of people use that scripture in the wrong way. They
exactly.
manipulate it.
Right.
We are the weaker vessel physically. Men mm-hmm. are created
right, to be
stronger
strong.
Than women. And then when you read in Ephesians mm-hmm. where it says, and he is the savior of the body. Okay, so we're submitting. Okay, for the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Men were created to be masculine and
yes.
to protect us and to have that authority, mm-hmm. you know, and the world wants to take that away from them
now. I
know,
and it's wrong.
It's totally wrong, but to me, it's like you, when you mix these two scriptures, you mm-hmm. see that he is that we're not weaker vessels
no.
spiritually.
No.
We're not weaker vessels in the home.
Mm-mm.
You know, we are, like you said, we're created to stand beside him, mm-hmm. but he is head of the home.
Right.
Right. And then
I know while you're saying that too, and while you're looking at that, I'm just thinking of the man. He is that head, and he has those broad shoulders to protect
yeah.
us.
Yeah, exactly.
And on those broad shoulders, they are taking on a lot of responsibilities
yeah.
that we as wives don't have to. And when our husbands are taking on those responsibilities and doing them, mm-hmm. that allows us as the woman then to live our
to
full
rest
potential.
In that.
Yes, we have peace in it. We can
yeah.
rest in it. We can do our part in the home.
Yeah.
Like, we can take care of our families the way that we need to
yep.
because things are put in
yes,
order.
Yes, and they're out doing what they have to do, so we are being cared for. But yeah, submission doesn't, it's not what a lot of people think it is,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
But for me, it's peace.
Yes.
You know, because I can trust that, like, okay, you are making that choice, and I trust in you, and if it's not the right choice, that's okay.
God will point it out to him.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll work through it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but, you know, submission, it's like when there's a choice to be made, it's not, we may not always agree.
Right.
And in the heat of the moment, submission is just keeping your mouth shut.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it comes down to at times.
Right.
You know, not rearing up and flipping out and saying, mm-hmm. no, that's wrong. You're going to mess things up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so what that looks like is keeping your mouth shut. You can go and pray about it.
Right.
Because God hears our prayers,
mm-hmm.
you know, so.
Yeah, and two, like, unfortunately, in different religions and different cults and different sects around the world, submission as a woman is, I'm a doormat.
Yeah, and that's not what it is.
I'm abused.
Yeah.
I'm the slave of my husband.
Yeah.
No. That is taking what God had planned for us completely out of context.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because we are important to God.
Yep.
He needs us. Our families need us.
Yes.
I mean, I think about the woman in the family. She is that the giver. She's the comforter.
Mm-hmm.
She's in a way that lover.
Yep.
Taking care of her family, providing for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I, as a working mom, there are a lot of working moms out there. We have huge jobs because I'm not only taking care of my kids at school. I come home and I have to take care of my kids. I have to take care of my husband.
Yeah.
And there are some days I'm like, ugh, when am I ever going to get a break?
That's a lot.
It is. But
and I also, ministry.
Yes. But I also have the support of my husband.
Exactly.
And That's what God wants for us. That's what He wants for the family. Yeah. He wants that man to be the head, to lead his family, mm-hmm. to lead his wife, to give her that safe place so that the wife can do those things that God has created her to do.
Amen. Yeah, and you know, there's just, when you're reading, and you read in Genesis what you read, therefore, I just want to hit this real quick. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Mm-hmm. Now, that's big, and I know, like you said, you can do a whole message
on
that.
We can do a whole lot with that.
But if there's anybody in your life that is coming against that, because I dealt with that, and it was Brandon's controlling you, that's not right. Why is he saying this? You should be allowed to do that. When really, no. When you let that third voice in, and you see it in the garden with Adam and Eve, and the serpent came and he deceived her, and that was a third voice.
Yeah.
You know, God gave them a command, and she listened to a third voice. Well, what about this? He didn't mean that. He didn't. So you can take that in so many different ways. But if there is somebody who is coming against your spouse, and who is always downing them, who's, instead of saying, well, hang on, let's pray about this, or let's look at it from his perspective. If you don't, if you have that toxic person that's saying, well, that's not right, and you shouldn't be in this and that, and always downing your husband, get rid of them.
Yes.
And I just want to say that, because I know that that happens a lot, and that comes in between marriages, and that's what the enemy wants. He doesn't want us having a home, a marriage, and a family built the way God created it to be. So there's always that one person.
Oh, yes.
I'm telling, I've had so many friends like that, and it's so toxic. I've had family like that, and it's so toxic, and I let that cause problems for so many years. So I'm just saying, beware, you know, of those kind of people.
Yeah, because like your marriage is supposed to be between you, your husband, and God.
Yes.
And I know it does say a man shall leave his mother and father. It doesn't say the woman shall leave her parents.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's a lot of times that the husband's mother, a lot of times, wants to rule.
Yeah.
You need to pray for that mama. And if you're that mama, consider what the word says.
Yeah.
Because, oh, the Lord showed me that a long time ago, because I'm the mom of two boys.
Yep.
It's like, I have to know now that my boys are going to leave me. I'm not going to be the woman in their life any longer.
Yeah.
I'll still be their mother. I'll still be there for them. Yeah. They'll still come back and see me and be with me. But my opinion doesn't count as much anymore.
And it's,
and that's what it should be.
Yeah, and that's also part of being established in the Lord and having a healthy relationship with Him. Because then, you know, you understand that we all have seasons in life. And you're always a wife, you're always a mother, and you always serve the Lord. But there's times where, like, you have authority over things, and then you don't, and you begin to lose that. So... that is tough, and that, you know, that's things that we have to deal with as moms of boys.
Yes.
And I know I've dealt, you know, I've thought about that a lot with Eddie and Elijah. What's that going to look like? You know, and having to keep your mouth shut.
Yes.
And I'm like,
it's tough.
Yeah, but when you have a healthy relationship with God, He will lead you, He will guide you. And you put your kids in His hands.
Right.
You know, so that's where I'm at with it right now.
Yeah. And I know we've been talking about mainly marriage, but I want to jump back several steps before we even get to marriage. And girls, young girls that are wanting to be in a relationship.
Yeah.
And I was that girl when I was young. I mean, good night. I remember from the time I was three. I was always after boys, like always after them. And once I got married and, you know, once I had my relationship the way that it needed to be, the Holy Spirit started showing me that for me, I was after the affection and the attention of a father.
Yeah.
I had my father. He was in my life, but he worked all the time. And then when he was home, he was tired from working all the time, so he slept a lot.
Yeah.
So I didn't get that affection. I didn't get that attention. And it's like I look at the little girls that are around me at school, and I'm with fifth graders, 10-year-olds, 11-year-olds, and we just recently changed the shorts rule to no longer it has to be necessarily fingertip length, but it can be slightly higher.
Oh, goodness.
And I have had to deal with 10 and 11-year-olds wearing booty shorts to school. And why am I picking on this is because girls, we're not supposed to attract men that way.
No.
Men are extremely visual.
Yep.
Because that's how God made them.
Yep.
And he made us to look good to get their attention.
Yep.
Because that's how we come together. It's how we procreate. I mean, we got to be attracted to one another. But that's not how God wants us to be coming together.
No.
Paul was writing to Timothy, and Timothy, he was a young preacher, and he's giving him instructions about how to teach the people in his church.
Yep.
And in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9, he's talking about women. And he says, I want women to be modest in their appearance. They should wear decent and appropriate clothing and not draw attention to themselves by the way they fix their hair or by wearing gold or pearls or expensive clothes. Mm-hmm. For women who claim to be devoted to God should make themselves attractive by the good things they do.
Yep.
So, girls, we have to be so conscious of how we're dressing. Mm-hmm. And we're not supposed to dress seductively and scantily. Yep. And our boobs shouldn't be hanging out, and our behind shouldn't be hanging out.
And you shouldn't be able to see every curve of your body, even with your clothes on.
Right.
Tight clothes.
Right. And I realize that, yes, you may want that attention from a man, but the only kind of attention that you're going to get is physical, sexual attention.
Yep.
And really, your heart is what wants love. I mean, it's easy to have a physical, sexual relationship.
Yeah, you can draw a guy with your body any day.
I mean, and if that's what you're using to draw them and attract them,
yeah,
you're not going to have a good relationship.
Nope.
Because it's only going to be based on sex.
Yep.
And a guy that only wants you for that is not worth it. Mm-mm. So protect yourself by covering things up, not letting everything be seen.
Yep.
Leave things to the imagination. Because if you really want a good man, whether you're Christian or non-Christian, if you truly want a good man, just attracting them with your body isn't going to get you a good man.
No, and you're going to be disrespected, and you're going to be looked at as a piece of meat.
Yeah.
And that's all you're going to be to them.
Exactly.
Because been there, done that.
Yep.
Bought the t-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
And it leads to nothing but heartbreak.
Yes.
Absolutely. And you're going to be disrespected, and, you know, and then, like, right here in Peter, it even says, this is 1 Peter chapter 3, do not let your adorning be the outward adorning of braiding the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine clothing. So don't be adorned by those things. Don't be looked upon by those things. But let it be the hidden nature of the heart, which is not corruptible. Even the ornament of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of the Lord. So let it be what's within you that attracts a man. Because, I mean, that's what God looks upon in love. So that, you know, like it said, that's precious in his sight. And if you're attracting a godly man, that will be precious in his sight.
Right.
You know?
Right, because unfortunately, too many girls and women are using their bodies to manipulate men. And that's witchcraft.
It absolutely
is. We're so not supposed to do that. And two, like Paul and even Peter were saying here about, you know, don't use the gold and the jewelry and all that stuff. We're not saying that you can't wear that stuff.
I love gold.
Yeah. Love me some bling.
Yes.
Okay. But what he's saying is don't use the outward appearance
yep.
to attract men.
Exactly.
Like, they should be seeing that inner person come
mm-hmm.
out.
Mm-hmm. Because like my husband will love me mm-hmm. just as much on a day where I'm cleaning the house and my sweats and my hair up in a bun because he loves me.
Exactly.
He loves what's within me. This mm-hmm. is because I like to feel pretty.
Mm-hmm.
We want to wear gold.
Right.
We want to do our hair, and that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what we depend on.
Right.
You know?
Sometimes my husband's like, are you going to ever get dressed today?
Yeah.
Like, are you going to put on some decent clothes? Are you going to put some makeup on? Are you going to do your hair? Because he wants to see the pretty as well.
And that's for our husbands.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, the saying about beauty's only skin deep, mm-hmm. but ugly goes straight to the bone. Okay? And I've heard, too, like, she might be pretty on the outside, but you might not like what's inside.
Yeah, and let me just read this since you just said that. So, an excellent wife is the crown of her husband,
mm-hmm.
but she who causes shame is like rottenness in his bones.
Yeah.
So, a deceitful woman who's beautiful on mm-hmm. the outside, she may look like everything that you want, men, young mm-hmm. men.
Yes.
She will be like rottenness in your bones.
Mm-hmm.
So, for the men, women, don't draw a man like that.
Right.
For the men, don't be attracted to a woman just because of her looks.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've come across many women like that.
Mm-hmm.
I was that woman at one period in time myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's crazy. I've seen both sides of the fence and how that affects a man.
Right.
I'm telling you what.
Right. And I know, I'm just thinking again, going back to the verse about, you know, he who finds a wife finds a good thing.
Yes.
Women, we should not be out there after men.
Mm-mm.
We are not supposed to be flaunting ourselves, flaunting our bodies to get a man.
Mm-mm.
Especially if you want a husband. You are not going to get a good husband that way.
No. Nope.
You'll get a man, but he won't be a good one.
Nope. And also Proverbs 19:14 says, houses and riches are an inheritance from our fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
God will send you the right wife. And women, God will send the right man your
mm-hmm.
way, because you are a gift from God.
Mm-hmm.
That's
a blessing.
A blessing. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord.
Right.
We're favor
mm-hmm.
from the Lord to our husbands.
That's pretty cool.
I told Brandon that the other day. I said, you're blessed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because you found favor.
Yep, because you got
from
me,
the Lord
honey.
In me. So there you go.
Yes.
That's what I told him.
Yep.
Yes.
So, I mean, really, young women that are out there looking, you know what? Enjoy your singlehood.
Mm-hmm.
In Paul, I'm not going to go into it, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, it says instructions for marriage, but then he goes on and he talks to married people, he talks to single people, he talks to people that believe that they have been called to be celibate.
Yep.
And as happy as I am to be married and as much as I love being married, I look back on the time that I was single, that I was really going after God, and it's like that was some of the best times of my life, even though I
mm-hmm.
didn't have a boyfriend. It was so good because I was free to go do whatever God needed me to do.
Yeah.
Like if he said, okay, I want you to go do this camp, or hey, I want you to do this mission work, or hey, I want you to come over here and be a volunteer over here.
Yeah.
I didn't have someone that I had to report back to.
Yep.
I didn't have to consider their feelings, the time, the commitment.
Yep.
I was free to go ahead and do that.
Yeah.
So, and this goes to all of you out there that are single that happen to be watching this. Enjoy your singlehood. Enjoy that time. Don't use it to go out and be drunken and stupid and partying and sleeping around. No, don't use it for that. But use it as a time to do those things, especially if you're serving God, to do those things to serve him. Because I tell you what, when you get married, like you have to take care of your husband.
Yep.
As a wife, we've got to take care of them. We have to take care of their sexual needs.
Yep.
Like, we have to be ready to do that.
Yep.
Then we have kids. That's a whole other thing. Oh, goodness gracious. I remember when I first had Brody, and the first time that I went to the post office, I had this baby, and it's like, I just have to run in and, like,
yeah.
I couldn't just do that.
Nope.
And that's when it hit me. I'm like, oh, my gosh. My life is never the same again.
Nope, it never is after you're married and have kids.
It's wonderful now.
Absolutely.
I mean, I love it. It's been quite the journey. It's been hard work. But I'm saying for all of you out there that are single, like, enjoy that time.
Yep.
Use it to train yourself, to prepare yourself for marriage, especially mm-hmm. if you want to be married. If you feel like you are called to be single, God bless you.
Yeah.
Use that. Like, mm-hmm. and I know too, in, what is it, 1 Corinthians 7, 8, 9, it talks about, you know, it's better for you to marry than to burn in lust. But he wasn't just saying, hurry up and get married so you can have sex.
Yeah.
That's not what he was saying. Mm-hmm. If you know you have the right person and you have agreement with your family, it is better for you to get married.
Yes.
And to start that marriage relationship than to ruin it with sex outside of the marriage.
Yeah. And living in sin.
Exactly. So, it's not, oh, I better hurry up and get married so I can have sex before the rapture. No, that's not what it's about. I'm sure many of us have felt that way.
I've heard that a few times.
I know I felt that way once upon a time, too. You'll be fine.
Yeah. Yes. So.
All right. Do you have anything else you want to wrap us up with here tonight?
I will just say I second that. Take your time.
Yes.
Take your time finding a husband.
Don't settle.
Let the Lord lead you and guide you. Seek him. Seek what he wants for your life. Mm-hmm. Because I'm telling you what, like, you know, I didn't have that experience, but I know it's beautiful. I've watched it happen with other people. And, you know, just dedicate yourself to the Lord. Mm-hmm. You don't need to rush into things,
right.
You know. So this was a lot on what it looks like to date and have relationships as a Christian. So I will give the opportunity to anyone who is not saved, who has not made that commitment to Christ, to just dedicate your life to him. You know, and if you live your life this way, you can have healthy relationships. Mm-hmm. You can have a healthy marriage. Aside from what the world says that that's not available. You know, that you should be alone, you should be single, you should have all these other things. But God created us to be fulfilled with marriage, with mm-hmm. children, with a, you know, living life in the order that he gives us. So, if you'd like to make Jesus your Lord and Savior, just repeat this prayer after me. Father, I know that Jesus is your Son and that you sent him to die on the cross for me. Jesus, I ask you to be my Lord and Savior. I receive forgiveness of sin. I ask you to lead me, to guide me, to direct me. From this day forward, I will live my life for you, Jesus. I will live a holy life. I will do what your word says. I will submit to you first. So, be the Lord of my life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Yes, if this is the first time that you've asked Jesus into your heart, you are a new creation in Christ. The old is gone, the new has come. If you've been in those abusive relationships and those wrong relationships, really pray and seek God. How do I get out of this? Because he will make a way out for you. And when you see it, don't just let it go. Don't say, oh, well, maybe this is it. I'm not sure. Give me a sign. No, this is your sign. If God is showing you a way out, you need to take it. And the last thing that I would say to you too, don't ever settle. Don't ever settle worried that, oh, I might never get married. Oh, I might never find the right one. Don't settle.
Amen.
And you know in your heart if that person that you're with right now is not the right one for you. If family members are not agreeing with you that this is the right person for you, if you have any doubt whatsoever in your heart. I remember my mom told me, she's like, I don't care if you're walking down the aisle. She's like, if you have doubts about this person, turn around and leave. So I'm giving you that freedom right now. If you're in a relationship right now that you have doubts about it, are they the right one? I'm not sure. I think they are, but I'm not sure. The Holy Spirit's telling you they're not right.
Amen.
Don't settle.
He's the inner witness.
Don't settle. Yep. I have someone better if you will just trust me and wait.
That's a word for someone.
It is.
That's
because
a word for someone.
It's what I did.
Yeah.
I was ready to settle, and thank God he showed me don't settle. And I waited, and it was 3.5 years. But thank you, God, that you taught me not to settle, because I don't even know where I would be. I would not be here, that is for sure. And I am so thankful that I waited for my right husband.
Amen.
So,
they're out
you
there,
can do
sisters.
It.
Yes,
they
out
are.
There.
There are good men, and they're looking for you.
Yes.
You don't have to come looking for them.
Yeah.
Well, I hope you guys got something good out of this today. I believe that the Holy Spirit had a lot of stuff to share with you.
Yeah.
So take this to heart, pray on it, and then act on it.
Amen.
As he leads you. Have a great week.
Hallelujah.